Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. The following episode was a live recording of Metta Musics and Mugs, a weekly show in our community group on Facebook. We wish to share this episode as part of the Connecting Soul Beings podcast. Due to the nature of the live recording, you may hear answers to questions people asked, as well as reference to comments and names of people that attended the live episode. If you wish to attend any live masterclasses, shows, and interviews, feel free to join us via connectingsoulbeings.community. Enjoy!
I'll give you the floor, Carolyn.
So for those of you who've read The Alchemist and know of Santiago the Shepherd Boy, who travels the world in search of his treasure, and eventually ends up back in his original Andalusia, realizing that he never needed to seek the treasure outside himself. It was always within. And I'm a doppelganger for Santiago. I traveled the world, looked for everything that I was meant to do, because I've always felt like I had a mission. And it's only now in my later years that I realized that everything that I learned along that external searching journey has enabled me to understand who I am and what I can contribute. So my focus now is about supporting the creation and emergence of a more heart-led humanity, because what is happening at the moment in the world, the chaos that we see, is driven by the world being enslaved to its head, logic, rationality, and we're all in search of tangible outcomes, status, acquisition, you know, what can we own and what can we do and how do people see us? So I want to be helping support the emergence of the new leaders, the new heart-led role models across all areas of society who live from their hearts and recognize it's about our interconnectivity, the fact that we're all one, the fact that it's who we are and how we support one another and how we model that to society going forward to show a new way, a new paradigm. So that's my focus at the moment, in a very organic, as you can tell, unthought through, very spontaneous way. So yes, that's my focus at the moment, supporting the new leaders, the new role models, the new influences coming from the heart.
Fantastic, beautiful. And I know that this has been quite a journey for you as well. It's been a long time coming, and I love to see you actually flourish and really explore this area too.
Yes, I've been a hermit. I've been a committed hermit for at least the last 20 years. And whilst you can probably tell I'm a communicator, mm-hmm. and I communicate fairly well and enjoy communicating, I never really wanted to be the leader. Although I've supported leaders internationally at very senior level, and I'm very confident doing it, I've never wanted to be the visible person doing that myself. But now I can see that I've gathered so much stuff, knowledge and understanding about how people work spiritually, physically, emotionally. And it now feels like it's time for me to share that with others in a way that will support them to influence in the area of life that is most important to them. So that's how I'm now having to commit to being visible, which is tough as an introvert posing as an extrovert.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
A great role model in that, because you've been, you know, you've supported me with my animals and we've developed a personal relationship and a professional relationship, and you've been a wonderful ally and co-creator as well. So I'm very grateful to you in that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
My heart to yours. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing what we've talked about, you know, the conversations that we've had. It's just been so wonderful to also be able to talk to someone who understands some of the things that are, you know, in particular when you talk about the new leaders and how we are going to show up. It's been really wonderful to hear that side of the story too, because the things that you sort of experience right now, and in particular because we are evolving so quickly, and what you said earlier before we started, that, you know, we are being pushed in the direction that we need to go in right now. It's just wonderful to experience that and to just explore those areas with you too. Just, yeah.
And I think we all know that the time of the masculine energies, which are connected with the head, we've seen an excess expression of those in the ego control, power and greed that we see around the world, is now shifting into the heart, the more sacred feminine expressed energies. But we need them to come into balance. So sometimes I get a little concerned that people are pursuing, you know, we must bring forward the feminine and it's about the women. But it's about the sacred feminine and bringing back the dominance of the patriarchal into the sacred masculine and balancing the two. Because like the yin yang symbol, everything needs to be in balance. So it's understanding how each has a role to play, focusing first on the heart. So when we have a decision, typically we would say, what do you think about that? And we go straight to our head. Even if you ask, I found this fascinating. When I was coaching leaders, I'd say, how do you feel about that? And they go, well, I think. And I say, no, here, not here. And then we automatically, because society teaches us to go straight to our head.
Yeah.
And to get people to reconnect to what's going on in here and to spend a moment to ground and feel what's going on in our bodies, what's going on in our energetic fields. Mm-hmm. And going forward, I feel that we all need to learn more about, me included, when we have a decision to make, to go straight to our heart and only then go back to our head and say, okay, I know now how I feel about this, but how does my head then inform my thoughts? So we default to our heart and our gut instinct, our connection to the divine and our energetic embodiment of what we're feeling about something. And then we go to our head and say, okay, head, okay, brain, what's your contribution here? You know, what is it? What rational, more linear, logical things can you add to that? But it's the addition, it's the value add, it's not the foundation. And in our society at the moment, we're going straight to the head and saying, right, what's the logical way? Well, we do this.
Exactly.
But no, it's let's go to the feeling first.
Yeah.
And then consult that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You would know all about that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the feeling comes first, but there is a bit of a risk, I feel, as well, that we often need to keep ourselves really focused on grounding as well at the same time. Because if we don't do that, our headspace is not going to work with us at the level that we need it to. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so and that's my thing sometimes as well, because I love being just up in the air and be all with the energies and flow with, you know, everything that comes through. The challenge is then as well to actually come back and just ground. So every day, all day, I keep tuning into myself. Am I still grounded? You know,
because
we need that level.
That's very good. And I think the other thing that's really coming through for me at the moment, it's about we're all special corner bits or middle bits or blue sky bits of the jigsaw.
Yes.
And without the next bit of the cloud bit next to the blue sky bit, or the other corner bit in the jigsaw, or whatever, we are less powerful. Yep. So stop being so isolated and think we need to know all the answers. And it's that sense of control, the ego control. I need to know what the next step is to come together with others and hear their thoughts and hear their feelings and integrate all the wisdom that's going on around us. And it's no longer about one person being a leader. It's about maybe one person taking the role in influencing, but then gathering all the wisdom around and seeing how that makes a more rich and complex and interesting and exciting picture that would never be conceived or possible had we not come together in community. And I just see that the time of the, because my role really is about supporting the new influencers and leaders from the heart. But it's about those people recognizing they're only as powerful as the people they have around them and that they work with. Mm-hmm. And so this opportunity for us to come together, for you to do this, I think is fantastic, because everybody has the opportunity to contribute and then we get something even more wonderful as a consequence. It's about the recipe, isn't it? It's about not having the formal recipe in the recipe book, but you just chuck bits in spontaneously, randomly from everybody that's there and go, wow, that's an extra special cake I cooked. I never knew that, you know, it could be that unusual and delicious, because we've done it spontaneously and it's come out completely differently.
Exactly. And it's actually interesting as well, just as a side note, we've just been thrown out of Facebook Live twice. And now that we started talking about all this stuff, we haven't been thrown out yet. So the energies are really, you know, what you said before as well, like the alignment has then started to happen. And I'm just observing that right now. So it's fascinating that that's sort of happening as well, that now we're talking about all the stuff that we need to delve more into. And I believe that we really need to start considering to apply all those principles as well, and not just stay focused and in the head and, you know, just doing all the practical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. Just want to read a few comments, because we've got huge engagement going on, which is really great. I love it. So we have Delise saying, okay, you're back. That's all good. And what else is going on? That's that one there. So we have live now. Okay, here we've got more comments. We have Andrew is commenting on what you were talking about in terms of the healers. He's going, the intersex community in history has always held position of healers seers because they carry both the masculine and feminine. Very beautiful. Then we have Delise saying, I feel also that the grounding keeps the focus keen. Yes. We have Lisa Phillips. Hello, Lisa. Gorgeous. Nice to have you here. And Delise is saying, yes, Caroline, community and contribution, as you say, is so important. And us coming together is so wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful comments. I know, Andrew, you had another comment, but for some reason I can't see that. Which is very strange, but we'll see how we go. Okay, so it's so wonderful that everybody's actually joining the conversation too. Thank you all so much for that. And do share, take a picture of your mug as well. We want to see your mugs, guys. I even put some sparkly nail polish on.
I can't offer that, but I'm bringing in a new version.
Awesome, awesome. Love it. And, you know, not just the connection that we have with our spirits and with ourselves and nature around us, because you live in beautiful surroundings there behind you. It looks absolutely stunning.
I'm very blessed. Yeah. I had the barn owl fly over me the other night. And I don't know if you have barn owls. I can't remember if you have barn owls in Australia. I don't think you do. They're like white ghosts. They're big birds, but they're white. And they come out at dusk and they fly over the meadows and dive, suddenly dive to get their prey. And they're just the most spectacular, spectacular creatures. And I have the deer in the field next to me, and I feed the foxes, and I've got the badgers, and it just feeds me. And they've got the birds of prey over above, and it's...
Oh, lovely. Yeah. And you've got all your beautiful animals indoors as well.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce them to us?
I'm not sure about the description of the beautiful, but yes, I'm going to... I've got two Romanian rescues with one on the way. He's in quarantine waiting to arrive because of everything that's going on at the moment. So they're like yin and yang. They're like the divine. Well, I'm not sure about the divine, but they're certainly masculine. We're working on the sacred divine part. One is a cool, laid-back dude, and the other one is hyper-nervous and very intelligent and very active. An old collie cross, she's 14. She's the matriarch. And then I've got four rescue cats, Siamese crosses and a ragdoll.
Beautiful. So, they must be keeping you very busy.
They always do. I mean, it's the disruption more than anything else. But that's the grounding. That's definitely the grounding.
Yes.
I don't know why, but I feel called to talk about Mary Rodwell, and I don't know whether it's appropriate or not.
Mary Rodwell.
The bigger perspective of what we're experiencing at the moment. As I know everybody, well, not everybody, that's probably a gross generalization. Awful lot of people now are feeling that energetic push that we were talking about
yes.
now's
yes.
time. And I just wondered if it might be of interest to talk about the bigger galactic context, about why we're feeling this push and how it fits into the galactic and universal evolutionary process, our cosmic context. Because as part of the heart-led humanity conversation that I'm looking to start around the world with a lot of thought and heart leaders, bringing in these new ways of being and living and technologies in the world, I feel that if, as humanity, we recognize that our progress is, or that the cosmos is really waiting for humanity to move forward with its evolution, so that our universe and the multiverses beyond can actually evolve and ascend as well. So there's been a lot of patience in our universe waiting for humanity to make the choices to evolve and ascend, because we're holding back our cosmic brothers and sisters. Mary Rodwell, some of you may know her. She was born in the UK. She now lives in Australia. She qualified as a nurse originally, and she then started working with children and families who were displaying, I may not have this completely accurate, but my understanding is that she found that they were displaying unusual qualities, and families came to her to understand why their children were behaving the way they were. And after many years of following these children and case studies, she found that these were the new starseed children coming in from other planets and galaxies and constellations to support the evolution of humanity at the time. It always makes me incredibly emotional to talk about that, because I feel I am one, and I'm sure you are, and many of the people on here with you are. And they have come to support the waking up of humanity at this time, so that we can, I think we've had many attempts to evolve, many attempts for humanity to ascend, but we've been thwarted by certain agendas. And now is our time to ascend, so that not only can humanity itself ascend, but the rest of our galaxy and beyond will benefit from our own evolution. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the new human and these new hybridized and starseed children coming in. She's written, her latest book is called The New Human. And it is fascinating about all the amazing skills that these children are being born with, because they're from planets that have got knowledge thousands of years in advance of us. And they're bringing it through music, through science, through awareness that is going to wake us up as a humanity. And so I don't know why needed. I don't know if there's somebody on the call who needs to hear that.
Yes.
But I felt strongly called to share that. So I hope for those of you who are thinking, what the hell is she talking about? Gone from heart-led humanity to cosmic and galactic. If you listen to a lot of the YouTube presentations and international conference presentations that Mary Robwell has contributed to, it's fascinating what is coming through at this time. A lot of these children are presenting with symptoms that are recognized as Asperger's, ADHD, just, you know, qualities that don't fit in to our current paradigm that are not necessarily, and I'll say this in a aside, vaccine related. it's amazing. So I'll leave it there, but I just felt really strongly called to say that and share that.
Thank you, because I know for a fact that there are people here that completely understand what you're talking about. And for those who don't, I am sure later down the track it will make a lot of sense.
And I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And it's actually... Oh, my goodness. I'm getting the chills now. I did not know that. Delise is actually saying that Mary Rodwell sat next to us at the paranormal dinner we met at. I'm actually blown away because I did not know that. Delise and I met quite a few years ago at a paranormal expo, or what was it? What's the word? A conference.
Conference.
Paranormal conference. And that was held in the Blue Mountains. And I was one of the speakers. And they had a dinner the Friday night before we all kicked off on the Saturday morning. And apparently Mary Rodwell was sitting next to us.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I did not know that. Thanks, Delise, for sharing that. That's amazing. I was not aware. Now I really have to look her up, because I'm really great with faces, not names.
You'll recognize her. She's got very... She looks quite... she's got a very... what's a way of putting this? Galactic face to her, to me. She's got definitely a face that you would imagine might come from, be inspired by another race.
Beautiful. Oh. Yeah, beautiful. Let me just see if other comments as well, because everybody's really engaged, which is fantastic. Community contribution. Delise is also saying that she loves the English countryside. She's saying it sounds idyllic, a lovely English countryside, and pets to all the animals.
Yes. <from Delise. laughs>
And she's also saying, I think Mary's message is so forward, and I'm so glad she's included and mentioned in this chat.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. She's going to be the container in which I present my heart-led humanity. So I'm going to invite a lot of people from around the world to contribute their new technologies, new ways of being, to inspire others to live from the heart and how they will fit in from a new heart-led perspective. But I wanted the container. So I've approached her and she's agreed to contribute by setting the scene with her work. Yeah.
Beautiful. Fantastic. So the thing that sort of came up to me when you were talking about like the star seeds and the connections and all the shifts that we're going through right now, how do you actually work that in your everyday life? How does that show up for you and what do you do with it?
I'm assuming that's one for your community, not for me directly. Or is that for me directly?
Both. Both probably. Oh, look, he's turning up.
This is the whirlwind, whirly bird, otherwise known as Merlin, but he's a bit of a character.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
How does that turn up for me? I'm always aware of the bigger perspective. I find it very difficult. It's like, and I'm sure you can all relate, well, so many of you will relate to this. It's like living in several worlds alongside. So you're in different timelines, different dimensions at one time. So you're in the physical living, you know, cleaning up, cleaning the floor, cleaning up the dog fur, shouting at the cats. And then the next minute, you're feeling inspired to connect with your higher self and living from your genius self and your mastery and, you know, living from that higher space. And then for me, it's also about understanding my role in supporting, as part of the support ground crew, to support humanity's evolution on the galactic. So I always see myself living in the human world, the spiritual world, and the galactic. So it's always the three for me. So everything feeds into one another, and it's wonderful, because whenever you get bogged down in anything mundane or small, you just take one step out or two, and it just helps, you know, put yourself back in control and put things in their right position and balance things out and know that you can be frustrated with the small stuff, don't sweat the small stuff, but it serves this bigger purpose. And my learning in the physical is informing the galactic and the consciousness and the spiritual perspective that is part of the mass consciousness that we're all shifting at this time by our contribution. And for those of you who are familiar, which I'm sure many of you will be again, from Neil Donald Walsh and Conversations with God, and his explanation about who we are and how we're God breaking itself into tiny parts so that God can know itself, so that we're each having an experience which informs the whole. So every tiny experience we have and every moment is an opportunity to inform the greater consciousness of what life is in physical form. And then who do we choose to be as a consequence of that? So, you know, even when I'm working with some of these top leaders, I find it fascinating how disconnected they are from who they, from their true selves. Mm-hmm. They live entirely in their heads and they're constantly looking outwards and planning and evaluating who they need to be from that, not who they need to be, but what they need to do, instead of taking that inner journey in who do I need to be in this moment to be able to fully inform the action I'm about to take that will influence others. Inside out job.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, I so understand, because it's such a challenge for some of the leaders that we have out there in the field. You know, because years ago I started implementing some of this work already with leaders, and that is when I was starting to understand what it means to be so connected. And I had to really focus on how am I going to word this so that they are not going to get A, freaked out, or B, think I'm absolutely nuts. So once I did find the right words and some of the processes that I used to help them to go from that place of within, even just with their teams, you know, to be that leader that actually leads from that place, they started to get it. And they start to feel that it was more natural to lead from that place rather than sticking to this first. Even though it was still a challenge for them to go back into that space too, because everything was so pressured from the external that they had to do certain things.
Yes.
But to actually teach them to then just take that step back and go, okay, just sit with yourself first. What does it actually mean if you're going to do that? What does it mean if you're going to approach your team or your leaders with that? You know, and what can you do differently so that you are congruent with what you're doing?
Yeah.
From the inside. And the guys that actually, and I'm saying guys because I worked with a lot of males in the leadership world, that got it, they had amazing success, if I can use the word success, because it's a bit of an interesting word for me. But the guys that didn't get it, they were struggling, very much so. And it was then also really challenging for me to not go into some of the woo-woo language to help them understand it as well, because it made so much sense to me.
I know. It's so innate, isn't it? But when we look at society, the way society works is from birth, we're taken into our left side of our brain, which is the linear, logical, rational, functional, tangible. And the whole of society, from the way we structure institutions, from education to healthcare, everything defaults to our logic. And I don't know if you know this story, but there were some scientists that were invited into NASA to test for genius potential. And they did their research. And once they completed with NASA, they wanted to take it into the, beyond. And they decided to take it into the educational field. So they took it into the educational system, and they tested children aged 2 to 3 before they went in, even, you know, when they were tiny tots, into the school system, for their genius potential. And guess what percentage genius potential they found in those children at that age? Take a punt. What percentage?
70?
98%.
Oh, my goodness.
So then they put them into the school systems and they measured them again, aged 5 to 6. What do you think it was then?
Less than half.
37%.
Yeah.
And they measured them again when they left the school system.
Oh, it'd be even less than that.
2 to 3%.
Yeah, right.
The reason being that our genius potential is in our right brain. That's where we're more creative, we're more intuitive, we connect to the divine through our hearts. Those two are very well connected, right brain and heart. And it's more feminine, inspired, connected, collaborative, creative, nurturing. And the whole of society works from the left brain. Everything is linear, logical, tangible, functional. And if you look at how, what are the careers that are most respected and aspired to in society? They're the ones that work from the left brain. So we've got the banking, we've got the solicitors, we've got technology.
Doctors.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the professionals, they work from the left brain. What are the professions or careers that work from the right brain? So they're the caring professions, they're the teachers, they're the preschool, they're the after, you know, the elderly care. How much do we pay them? How much do we revere them? So we pay huge dollars, mega dollars, for the people who work from their left brain, and technology is increasing our default into that side, and we pay peanuts. In fact, we have to import people over here. I don't know what it is like in Australia now, but we have to bring people in from Eastern Europe who are used to a low wage to work in the lower paid areas. Or even, for example, farming, picking, working with the land. You know, the compassionate, the nurturing side of our nature. We pay them peanuts. What does that say about our society and where we put our value? Head, heart, logic, genius potential. There are a lot of people who are highly creative come from that right side of the brain that we do not encourage. But what does society want? Society wants followers. Society wants conformists. Society wants people that will work to the rules and do what they're told. Where does that come from? Left brain.
Yeah, exactly.
So everything in society is created around this conformity, doing what you're told, doing what you're expected. And technology is very much a binary function, takes us into our left brain. Binary being right, wrong, left, right, up, down, white, black. And we are discouraged from being free thinkers, which is where the eccentrics and the creative come from. People who work in the arts, you know. And they're even corrupting the care, people who work in the care and the teaching fields, because previously you could go into this as a vocation. For example, preschool care or nursing. Now you have to have a university degree, which teaches you to tick box and follow the rules.
Yeah.
So I don't think people, I think it's interesting to look at how we're being maneuvered as a society, and with what's happening with this lockdown and this social distancing, it is, in my view, my humble view, teaching us from one regard, you can take it that it's giving us the pause to self-reflect and discover who we are and how we want to go forward as a society and connect to ourselves. But on the other hand, if there's a binary, you know, in a 3D world, looking at the binary, it could also be considered that we're being encouraged to trust technology and distrust humanity. So don't trust the person. You've got to keep them 6 feet away because they might infect you. But it's okay for us to talk through technology. So we start getting used to being isolated, working from home, trusting technology as our means of interaction, versus coming together as a community and thriving from our interconnectivity, from our energy fields, and the sense of touch that humanity and our biology really comes from. And knowing that we are stronger in humanity and in our community and coming together physically.
Yeah.
But we're being taught to start using technology more. And I think that is something I really want to raise with people in terms of, yes, this is the great pause. This is the moment where we have to reflect about who we choose to be going forward. And what values we espouse to, and are we living, you know, what is important to us. But please, let's see how we can re-engage with one another physically and not just through technology, which gives us immense powers for us to talk the other side of the world. But let's still maintain our connection as a community.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because that's still, you know, in my view, our primary need is to have that connection, to have that physical being together in that one space and, you know, sensing each other's energies and being able to hug someone and be there for them physically. Yeah. And I find the term social distancing, personally, I don't think it's right, because we've never been as social as we are now with online. It's more the physical distancing, right, that we're going through right now. So, and it's interesting too, because in a way we are led to isolate. We are listening to the governments. You know, we have to do this. We have to do that. In fact, we are actually being fined for not doing it. Because I think it was not the past weekend, but the weekend before, a very well-known and respected man in Bondi, who happens to be a friend of my brother-in-law, got arrested because he was swimming from Bondi Beach without anyone around. You know, so in that respect, yes, we are now forced to go within and actually find out perhaps what we're really doing and who we are and what we want to be doing. How do we actually want to have our life pan out? And who do we need to be able to do that? But there's still that force on the other side going, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. So in a way, your freedom is being taken away from one side. But the other side is, I mean, I don't watch the news much. I'm only hearing from when I talk to people or from Lana what's going on. But are they actually thinking about how are we going to get back into, you know, meeting each other physically again, having group events again? How is that all going to pan out? You know, and what does that do to us then as well? Because a lot of people don't want to go back to what it was before this, because the star seeds, the people that are supposed to wake up, have started that process. And I'm a strong believer that most of us have started that already a few years ago. Definitely in the last 18 months, there's been a huge influx of people waking up, new healers, new teachers, new coaches in all different shapes or sizes, in all different roles around the world. But there are more people now getting ready to wake up more and to bring that heart-centered connection and space and work into the world. And I also believe that that is why this is all happening right now. That's what we need to start tapping into more. And that's why, God rest their souls, these people that have passed had to pass because they are not ready for the new world that's coming up, you know? So, and, but it's so intertwined. It's fascinating to see how everybody's dealing with it, how the governments are dealing with it, your family, your friends, people online, you know, it's very interesting to observe everybody's different responses and how they cope with this. Yeah.
And I have the blessing and the curse to be a polymath, which means I gather information on absolutely everything. From geopolitics to, you know, chemtrails to alternative energies to healing to you name it. And so I can see the geopolitical agenda of controlling us and manipulating information and disinformation that we're being fed. That is, they're trying to take or disempower us by locking us down, overreaching their powers. And I can see the spiritual and the galactic opportunity within it.
Yes.
And I do think, and this might be controversial, I do think there is still a space for activism because we're born as physical, spiritual beings in a physical form. And I still feel that there's the space for those people who feel called to challenge and stand up to physically the governments and their overreach of powers at the moment, because it's happening in the UK. You know, these things are, the fines and the control are happening, but they don't have the actual legal legislation to back it up. So people need to say, no, this is not right, and we will go out. And in actual fact, you know, the death figures are nowhere near what you're telling us, and it's no greater than the flu in an average year. So I think people do need to know that bigger picture of how they are being fed misinformation by the mainstream media, and that we have that understanding and that context within which we apply our spiritual understanding. So we know that there is an agenda to take our power away physically and spiritually so we can respond physically and spiritually. So it's not just about the love and the light and, you know, vibrating at those energies. And this is just my personal feeling. Everybody will have a completely different view, and that's fine. But I also think it's about informing people about what is really going on in that physical world so we can place our spiritual activities and choices within that bigger global context. Otherwise we're coming from we're not fully aware of how what we're doing fits into that big picture. Energies. That's just my personal opinion.
Fantastic. Love it. Love it, love it. Just going to go to a few comments. This conversation is so well received and absolutely needed. So we have Delise saying that she understands that connection to be in the interspecies connection, like connecting the cryptids, perhaps, I don't know how to pronounce that, who can be connected to as well. And we have, and she's saying, being indoctrinated in a certain way of thinking and being bordered by the banner of professionalism and learning not to speak your truth or not speak at all, as there may be consequences. Completely agree with that. Yeah. Michelle is saying, highly interesting, Caroline. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Very good. And Delise is saying, I have not looked at any information regarding what is happening with the current situation. And the leaves are still falling for autumn and the sun is still rising. And there is a great sense of silence to be able to listen and feel what's happening. That's beautifully said. Absolutely.
Beautiful.
That's a beautiful way to finish up, because we've reached 8 o'clock almost. Time flies when you're having fun. Very good. Yeah, wonderful. Is there anything else that you would like to leave us with today?
No, you're asking me all these wonderful questions that I should have thought about beforehand, but absolutely.
Don't worry. It's all on the fly. I never even thought about what to ask. Just the beauty of this.
I just love being in, you know, this opportunity for expanded community. And I think we're all feeling our call to service, and it's wonderful that everybody is feeling their way forward. And let us all just continue that wonderful inner and outer experimental journey, and enjoy the process. Be in joy. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Lovely.
Thank you for the invitation. And cheers. This is my latest version. This is my lemon, apple cider vinegar, organic, of course, selenium, and what's the other one? Something else in there. Colloidal silver. There you go.
Oh, so cheers, nice. Everybody. Cheers. Yes, I'm still going on my tea. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Caroline. It was absolutely amazing. Thank you for your time. And thank you, everybody, for attending and your interaction and engagement.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback, as they are truly inspiring. So please take some time to comment on this episode below. If you love the show, you can help us by sharing and liking it via your favorite podcast platform and our website. And if you feel that we can work together in helping you to connect to your inner self and the animals, then hop on over to biancadeRose.com or find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram under Bianca De Rose. Thank you again so much. Say hi to your pet from me and stay connected with love and grace.